Okay. We're going to begin with the where the arrow is a little bit further down, because at the beginning is just a diuk in the girsa of ki holach ma'anya and holach ma'anya. You know that there are different girsas. There's heilach ma'anya. In the Maral's Pirush on the Haggadah, there are many inyonim in halacha as well, and discussions of Rishonim and Poskim and so on. Every single Torah of the Maharal on Pesach establishes the yesod of that inyan. All the Chassidus Svarim are based upon the yesodis that are found in the Maharal. So let's begin. Halach ma'anya. The first mention of halach ma'anya. No? It's a shchodesh. Yeah. Halach ma'anya. So the Maral asks, Yesh lishol, lama nikra ha-matzah lechem ayini. Maral asks, why is it that matzah is called bread of poverty, lechem ayini? V'ayevshu shehinor kematzah shleim. My father always says that it's the bread that makes you poor. That's why it's called the bread of poverty. Matzahs could be as beautiful as a piece of bread. Rabshu shehinor kematzah shleima. Val shem ma nikris amatzah lechem ayini. So why is the matzah called lechem ayini? Why is it called bread of poverty? V'risi l'ktsas v'sherotza l'farish divrei hagada hazos l'kach nikra oni. I've seen that some Rishonim have explained that the reason it's called oni of poverty, b'mei shehin nemucha, because it's humble, it's low, it's not inflated. V'ena gavoha, that's why it's poor. It doesn't have that a richness to it, a height. B'mei shehin nemucha, v'ena gavoha, shachomitz kashnes chomitz unasa gavoha. Chametz rises. In the Svarim HaKadoshim, therefore, chametz always symbolizes gaiva, conceit, and the ego, and matzah is always the symbol of humility. O matzah hi nemucha kamahani hazeh lekachu lechem ayini. And matzah is deflated. It doesn't rise. It hasn't risen. Like the poor person, lekachu lechem ayini. That's one reason for that it's called lechem ayini that we find in the Rishonim. It's many Rishonim have such a concept. Hatam hasheini. This is found in also a number of Rishonim, the most famous of whom is the Ibn Ezra, in his Perush and Shmos. Hatam hasheini. Pas hamatzer, he koshel his akel betzdumka. Matzah is something which is very hard to digest. Ulekach imaychel oni. Therefore, it was commonly used as the bread of a poor person. It was a staple of their diet. Kadesh li yisakel hamozen b'meyav, because a poor person rarely eats, and therefore the matzah was something that would remain, and it took a while to digest, and therefore it was sensible for a poor person to eat that. So that's what Ibn Ezra says. V'zeu sh'omim halach ma'anya da'achlo avasana b'ara de Mitzrayim. So when we say in the Haggadah, this is the poor man's bread, that our ancestors ate the Mitzrayim, perish ki b'Mitzrayim hoyu Mitzriyim ha'achilim es Yisrael matzah, that when we were in Mitzrayim, the Egyptians would give us, when we were slaves, the Egyptians gave us matzah to eat. Why? Kadesh she is acher b'itztumka, in order that it should remain undigested, and this would sustain them. It sits in the stomach. Lo yisakel shederech lahachil amatzah lavodim ha'isnes avayda, and it was the way to give matzah to slaves who were working. Ad kan divrei. These are basically the two approaches that we find in the Mishnah to explain why it's called lechem oni. V'heim dvarim sheyachish akosu v'emes. The morale, of course, is always straightforward with us. And he says that these two approaches contradict the Torah and truth and common sense. Ki lo nimsa b'shum mokum. We don't find anywhere. Lo b'kosev, not in Tanakh. Lo b'mishnah, lo b'talmud. And not anywhere in Mishnayis or in the Gemara. Sha'amitzim hoyim achilim esesu matzah. We don't find anywhere such a thing that the Egyptians gave us to eat matzah when we were in Egypt. Rabba, it's just the opposite. B'sifri, Chazal said, Amru, b'parshas b'alayischa, when they said, Zachanu was adogash anayichal mitzvayim chinam. Oy, they were saying, we remember we used to have fish in Egypt. We used to have fish in Egypt. It doesn't say we remember we had, you know, Harvitz margaritan or something. So we remember the doggo that we used to eat. Chinam means for nothing. So Chazal say, what does that mean? Ashenachim mitzvayim chinam, yesh b'inyin shem mitzvayim, hayu neistam lham dogim chinam, So Chazal say there in the Sifri, what do you mean it was free? What do you mean it was for nothing? They were slaves. It wasn't for nothing. They didn't even get the straw, the wheat that they needed. They had to pay for their tevin that they needed to use for building. You think that the Egyptians were serving them, baked salmon or something? They weren't. What do you mean chinam? So Chazal say, what does it mean chinam? El chinam and mitzvahs means that in that state of not having mitzvahs, chinam doesn't mean that they weren't paying. Chinam doesn't mean it was for free. But chinam means, Chazal say, chinam means that they were living a lifestyle that was completely detached from Torah mitzvahs. Chinam and mitzvahs. I'll call upon him. The pasuk itself says in Chumash, Zacharnu Sadoga, that they remembered the fish that they ate in Egypt, and they were longing for the different foods, as it says in Farish in Chumash, that they had when they were in Egypt. Doesn't say that they fed them dafka matzah. V'ayit shakosuf oimer le'seich lelav chametz. It says in pasuk that you're not allowed to eat chametz. Shivas yom teich lelav matzahs lechem ayni. For 7 days you eat matzahs lechem ayni. Turn the page over. And the Torah gives the reason that we eat matzah. Why? Because we left Mitzrayim, we left Egypt in a hurry. And if it's called lechem oni, as Ibn Ezra says, because this is what was given to the poor man to eat, then lama amra hatayra teichla lav matzahs lechem oni. Then why does it say in the Torah, Torchel alav matzes lechem ayni, shemachil anasei la'aniyim, ki b'chipozni yetzasa? Why does it say that the Torah gives a reason that since we left Egypt in a rush, therefore we have the mitzvah to eat lechem ayni. So the morale is, so lama karoi sa b'shem ayni. Dein yin ani is makam ashiris ha'gula. If matzah is al shem ha-ge'ula, if matzah is the food of redemption, so redemption is ashirus, redemption is oishir, is what greater wealth is there than for a person to be redeemed? So if anything, it wouldn't be lechem ayni, it wouldn't be the bread of poverty, it would be the bread of redemption, the bread of wealth, the bread of salvation. Omnam perish adavar. Now the moral says he was a very, very big yesod, and more than he's saying, he's not saying it. Everything here is the very big Yonim Kabbalah here as well. Omna Perisha Dava. And this is a mitzvah to tell over to the children, to the grandchildren of Mitzvah Hashem, to simplify and to explain. Because this is something that we're struggling with very much nowadays. He says, Omna Perisha Dava. Ki amatza nikru lechem ayini, hepech matzah shira. Matzah is called lechem ayni, the opposite of matzah ashira, which now they call egg matzahs. Matzah ashira means matzah that's made with fruit juices, matzah that's chashuv, matzah that's rich in its taste and hasn't it good stuff. That's called matzah ashira. Shekasha yesh ba shemen u'dvash, it has oil in it, the egg matzahs, the matzah ashira. It has oil and it has dvash and honey. Nikras Ashira. It's called wealth, bread of wealth, or wealthy bread, egg matzahs. Ki adorva hazeh ma'asher halechem, because it enriches and adds on to the bread. The bread itself has very little, and by adding the oils and the dvash and the honey and so on, the fruit juices, it gives it an oisher. It enriches the bread. Mezeki ha'ani she'en lo ela atzma. He says, what's an ani? What's a real ani? What would be defined as an ani based upon the statistics in America, but an ani is somebody she'eino ela atzmai. All the poor man has is himself. That's really all that he has. He has himself. He doesn't have, he doesn't have a summer home. He doesn't have an apartment in Rehavia. He doesn't have a car or a boat. He doesn't have even a house. An Uraman Khalila, a mamish, a poor man. An Ani. He doesn't have. It's one thing that he has, and it's Atzma. He has himself. That's a Chiddush. She'en lo ela Atzma. Ve'en lo momen, rak Atzma yivagufay. He doesn't have any holdings, any investments. He doesn't have mammon. All he has is atzmai v'gufay. He just has himself and his body. V'amatza gamkein kasha ein barak etzem ha'isa. What is matzah? Matzah is what it is. It's completely unembellished. It's completely uncomplicated. It's completely unenriched. It is the most basic form of sustenance that a human being makes. All it has is Atzma Se'isa, just has the dough itself. Hu amayim v'kamach, the water and the flour. Dos is dos. That's it. Not chocolate-covered matzahs. Not whatever, achveis, whatever flavor, garlic. That's it. Zo atzmus isa. It's the essence of it. It is the dough, and that's all it is. O bezeh have lechem ayni. The Maral says, this is why it's called lechem ayni. V'im yesh bo se'or or chametz. If it has in it yeast, chametz, then tam ha'se'or v'achametz u'noisef al etzem ha'isa. The yeast, the chametz, means that there's something besides the dough. There's something besides the essence. There's something added. V'zehu yoyser osher men matzah ashir. And that's, in a certain way, the chametz, of course, is even more, it's even more of an addition to the basic, to the dough, more even than the egg matzah, than matzah ashir. Ki matzah ashir b'shul sheyesh b'mashkeh za ashir shalom. Matzah ashir, egg matzah has in it some fruit juices or some oil or honey. That gives it an ashiris, that enriches it, that adds to it. V'omnam isa sheyesh b'se'or ha'chametz, yotze yoyse minyin matzah sheyesh b'guf ha'isa chametz. Matzah ashir still has a shem matzah. It still is trying to be a matzah. It's like the poor man who's gone off of, the poor man who's gotten something. He has something. He's not completely impoverished, but it still has a chalais shame matzah. It's matzah ashira. Chametz already is no longer b'teres matzah. That's what he says. Omnam isa sheyesh b'sor chametz yotze yoyse minin matzah sheyesh b'guf isa chametz l'kach ha'matzah hilachem ayini. Ulai yakshalach ma'inin ha'ana'asa. Now you have to ask the kasha. So the question, of course, is ma'inin ha'aniyas alacheris. What is the relationship, or what is the, why would we introduce poverty into what would seem to be the wealthiest moment of in the life of the Jewish people? That transformation from being slave to being nigolim, to being a people redeemed. Why introduce Anius, poverty. That's what he's asking. Ma inyan ha'anius ala chayrus. What's the relationship between anius and chayrus and freedom? Between lechem oini, poverty, the one who has nothing, and freedom is when you have everything. V'haloi shnei hafochim heim, ha'chayrus v'hanius, aren't they opposite? Halodov is ain kasha. Ral says this is not a kasha at all. Ki ha'anius ba'atzmai hayra al ha'geula. Anius itself reveals the essence of what redemption means. Poverty is itself redemption. How could that be? The entire world thinks that poverty is the most bitter, the most bitter slavery. He says no. Ki ha'anias ba'atzmai hara la'gula she'ein inyin ha'gula. Now what is gula? Listen, this is why I wanted to do this. This is such an important basic piece. He defines redemption. What is redemption? So he says, ki ha'anias ba'atzmai hara la'gula she'ein inyin ha'gula rak she'yoytze ve'ein lo shum tziruf el zolasa. Gula means you are completely redeemed. You are totally independent. You're not relying upon anybody or anything. You have no tziruf el zulaso. You have no dependency. You have no strings that hold you to anybody. Like kemoi ha'eved. This is unlike a slave. Shena oimed ba'atzmo. A slave never doesn't have his own independence. A slave is not free. A slave is always attached and dependent upon his master. Therefore, where there's wealth, where there's ashiras, he doesn't exist in a state of independence, in a way of being totally independent. He is attached, and on some level, he's meshubed, he's enslaved to the things of his life, to what he owns, to what he has. There are a lot of disadvantages to being an ani. He's got a what? Right. Right. The morale certainly is aware of the fact that in terms of how an oni might feel about his predicament, or in terms of the marketability to make a shidduch for his children and so on, that in a certain way he's mace. But I'll tell you something interesting. There's a Torah from Baal Shem HaKadosh. It says in the Gemara says, Meis Be'erev Shabbos Seven Yofala, right? It says in the Gemara, Meis Be'erev Shabbos, if a person in the right time, doesn't mean, God forbid, prematurely, but in the right time, if he dies Friday, so Chazal says it's a good simon. It's Meis Be'erev Shabbos Seven Yofala. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that, you know what that means? It's a good simon if you have a Jew for whom the entire world dies Erev Shabbos. It's a good simon. Meis Be'erev Shabbos, that means when you have a Jew whose enslavement to this world ends by Erev Shabbos, it's a good siman. Misa in the Sforma Kedoshim doesn't mean just physical death. It means the end of a certain mahalach, or the end of a certain tkufa, of a period, or a change, a transformation is called Misa. On a deeper level, Oni Choshev Kemeis is not something which is negative. The same way Misha Meis Be'erev Shabbos is a Simen Yofalo. The Misa of the Oni means that he is somebody who is completely not, even though it sounds to us like it's odd, you say he's dependent upon everybody. No. He, metaphysically, on the deepest level, the Oni is, in his relationship to the physical world, is kemes. He's not the world, as far as he's concerned, the world has died. His world has died. Now, even though that has many chesaronos that come with it, And very often, you know, you have guys, this is something that it's always said, when you have somebody who you know, he wants to steigen learning, he says, you know, he's an idealistic person, and he just wants to, you know, pas b'melach teichal, he wants to just live a life of deprivation for the purpose of Torah, to learn Torah. Unfortunately, you have some people that are in that matzav, but they spend every few minutes talking about how they can make some money. That's not geula. That's not redemption. Ani chashuv kemeis means that as far as his dependency on the world is concerned and his involvement in the world for all practical purposes, he might as well be dead. He's not a part of the world. He's not attached to the world. That has chesroinus, and poverty could be maver person al das kainai. Could take a person away from everything, and he could lose everything. I remember when we were first married, so we were in the mountains in a place that there were quite a few affluent people in that bungalow, and I was a rebbe there, and there were a lot of affluent people, and it struck me how all the men ever seemed to talk about was their daigus with parnas. Now, I was the only guy. I was making like $9,000 a year. I was the only guy. Like, I didn't have any daigus. I got this broken down bungalow. We had enough, like, to go, you know, I went to South Fallsburg to buy some kugel and coleslaw. It was all right. We had a pool. You know, my wife and I were the happiest people in the whole place. Everybody else, like, with cheshbonis and daigus, you wouldn't believe it. And my mom saw with my eyes that an Ani only has atzmai, that he has only himself. Now, if he's unhappy with himself, it could be very bitter. If he's unhappy, if there's no shalom bayis, it could be very bitter. And certainly, not the star of Chas v'Chalila. But the Maral's talking on a deeper level. He's saying that, he says, look, he goes vayit, let's see a little bit vayit. He says, that's what it means. The kach adav v'sheyesh bo ashiris, where there's wealth, eino oimed ba'atzmai. Never before did you have as much independence as you have in America. Unbelievable. You could do what you want, be who you want. It's unbelievable. And the whole place is like, it's sibrochen. The whole country is sibrochen. The whole country is like, you know, is on medication. It's crazy. Right? She says, the person who has things, he's unredeemed. Because his happiness and his life already are no longer independent of other things in this world. But it becomes his destiny becomes tied up with those things. But where there's poverty, if it ain't like Kenyan, and there is nothing that's been acquired, there's nothing that's owned. Ve'in l'kinyin, back oimid ba'atzmai, shayach ba'geula. Then there could be redemption. Then that person can taste of true redemption. There is nothing in the world other than who he is.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just clarity. I've already addressed it before. But he's not saying it's a good thing to be poor.
No.
He's addressing the relationship between Ani and Ani. Is that correct?
Between Anias and Gula.
What I'm saying.
What's Chayrus?
He's addressing Ani is because it means something to do with obviously Anias and how it stels su to Gula.
Right, because it would seem to be a contradiction. When we look at the world, we say that Anias and Chayrus, we would say that poverty and freedom seem to be two opposites. Freedom is it's gewaldic, it's wonderful. And Anias is something which is miserable.
But he's not saying that Anias is a higher level. He's saying Anias is a peeled away level. Or not. I'm not sure
no,
I understand.
No, he's not saying the Chochmah is how to, the Chochmah this year is not that a person should disavow his connection to the world. The Chochmah is, how do you remain an Ani while having things of this world? That's a taste of redemption. But in order for us to understand what that means, we have to begin by investigating the nature of Anias, what Anias' total poverty means. The Chochmah is how to have things and to still be poor. The Chochmah is Rabbeinu HaKadosh of Yudah Nasi was the wealthiest man in all of Eretz Yisrael. And he held up his 10 fingers before he was Nifter, right? That he didn't derive anything from this world. You could be sure that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was not meshubah to the world. There's a difference between a person whose kinyonim, the things that he owes, are meshabed him, enslave him, and the person who's the balbos over all that he has. But the morale is telling us, why is it called bread of poverty? What does redemption have to do with poverty? The morale says that only where there's poverty, he doesn't mean that you have to be poor. He's talking about a much deeper idea than that. He's not talking about how much you have in the bank. He says, "Rak oimid ba'atzmai shayach be'geula." When you don't depend on anybody or need anybody or anything, when you need somebody or need something, that's not redemption. That's not geula. That's not geula. Why? Because my chiyus, I don't exist in an entirely free state. I'm not entirely free. Because to be entirely free means that I'm totally bi-ba'atzmi, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm someone that I have my own existence. But when a person has kinyonim, when he owns, and when he's dependent upon others, which is what Ashiras creates, that's what wealth creates, so then there's no geula, there's no redemption.
Wouldn't you say that an ani is more tali on, I guess on a certain level or not, but wouldn't you say they're tali on other people, manas basar adam?
Well, that's what I said. I'm not talking about, we're talking about the metaphysical state of anias. We're not talking about what happens, yeah, and that's why I mentioned about the guy that's talking about panos all the time. Yeah. So you have, like, you know, the guy screaming at his soul, you know, this guy comes and tells me, you know, how he's mamish living a life of ruchnis, and that's all they were learning Yom Vilayla Torah. So I said, what do you mean then? Why are you spending less, like 6 months away from your family, you know, going around talking to people about giving you money if you're so free? You know, rather, that's why I said it could be marval das kainai. It could mamish take you away from everything. It's a very dangerous thing. Anias is a very dangerous thing.
And is this also Rabbi Miyashev that Rabbi spoke about, I'm not sure if it was Maharal or Likutei Moharan, about that it's really right for Kol Bnei Yisrael that they should have a Shiras? I think it was one of the Purim tapes.
Yeah.
So how are you Miyashev that with this idea also, if everyone should have...
That's what I said. The Chochmah is for you to have, and for you not, like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and for it not to enslave you. To remain independent, to remain with a free will. That's a very hard thing. It's a very hard madrega. Ki ilo haya matzah shehi lechem oni moral b'nei odim shehim b'nei chayrin. Matzah, which is lechem oni, the moral says. And it's telling us that b'nei odim shehim b'nei chayrin hayo lechalishol v'lo ein ha'ani is simen cheiris klal. You might think that poverty is not a sign of freedom at all. It's not a sign of freedom at all. Aval lechem oni hazeh. But that's what he's explaining. Lechem ayni, lechem ayni, he says, Huba al etzim hayitziya lecheiros. Listen, this is the Nekuda Pnimis. It's called lechem ayni because it's the bread that we ate upon leaving, right? B'chipaz. It's how we left. It's how we left. It's the second, it's the moment of being transformed from a slave to a free person. So the Maharal says, that's what lechem ani is. In other words, ani is to be a poor person. That's what you're asking. To be a poor person doesn't necessarily, more often means that you're not independent. Fakir, it means that you're dependent upon others. But the moment of leaving, he says, avolechem ani hazeh, hu ba, he says, al etzem hayitziya lecheiros, v'etzem hayitziya lecheiros, eino ki'im bestalik inyin hatziruv. The moment of liberation means I am totally free. I am completely unchained, unbound, totally independent. There is nothing outside of myself that is controlling me or forcing me to act this way or that way, to behave one way or to behave another way. Shaloyia nimse et starfus klal. There's no dependency or attachment at all. That was the moment of redemption. That's why it's called the bread of poverty, of lechem oini. Because she'ein kan in starfus, I have nothing in the world, only myself. That's redemption. Therefore, he says, Oz nimtzes geula. Ulefichach tziva lecha lechem ayni. Therefore, the mitzvah on Pesach is to eat lechem ayni. Shuha matzah b'leil hayitziyah. To eat it on the night of leaving. There's no mitzvah to eat the whole year. Like you said, the whole year to be poor, you could become even more dependent. It's terrible. And it could cause you to go completely away from Torah mitzvahs, to lose your mind. But on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, on the night of the Yitzia, wheat lechem ayni, while you put out, like it's brought down in Poskim, you put out your most beautiful silver, and you set a beautiful table. But you eat lechem ayni, siva lecha lechem ayni, shua matzah b'lel ha-yitzia, b'avur she'ein b'matzah rak etzem ha-lechem. Because the bread, the matzah only has itself. It is completely independent of anything else. The matzah is, as he's going to explain in a moment, total pashtus. Pashtus is redemption. That pshitus, being uncomplicated, is redemption. Complications cause slavery. Complications, when things begin to become encumbering and complicated and complex, where there's level upon level of relationships and dependencies that are created, that's the opposite of redemption. But by matzah, he says, it's all you have is the etzem halechem. All there is itself. All it has is itself.
Maybe I don't mean to complicate things. Is that, if that's true in a person's asiachas to his nechazim, is that also true in people's relationships with each other?
On the deepest level, it's true. When is a person a ben chayrin? The moment before he's born, and the moment after he, and the moment he dies. Anytime in between, you're not a ben chayrin. You're not a ben chayrin. When a person, besonder and tzvansig, leaves this world, he becomes a ben chayrin. In this world, a person is not a ben chayrin. It's true on every level. We love to have relationships with friends, with family, and the Torah, of course, encourages that, and so on. It's talking about a much deeper level. I don't want you to become confused. It's not like saying, well, it sounds like from this morale that I should say goodbye to everybody and, you know, head for the hills and live by myself. And that's not what the morale is saying. The godless of a person is, and to taste of redemption is to be able to love people and to relate to people, but never ever removes you from the essential person who you and your essential being and your kaychus of what you can accomplish and what you need to accomplish in this world. That's geula. What in a, you know, you could tell a child comes to ask you, can I use the internet at night? Can I use the internet at night? So you say, no, the tzaddikim say we shouldn't use it. So the child will say, everybody uses it. That lashon, everybody, in America is a very harsh of a thing. Everybody. By our Zaydis and Babis, it meant nothing. But nowadays, this term, hakol, that kulam, everybody is doing something, is a matir. In other words, what are you supposed to say? Yes, he's right. Everybody's using it. That means it's good. In other words, this is an unbelievable mistake. With such avodim here, the avdus here is such an avdus, except this, you have to be very careful because it's a very sweet avdus. But the avdus is so strong that the word, those words, kulam aysim, everybody is doing this, that itself is a matir that is supposed to permit something which is essentially, if you think about it in a rational way, if you think about it as somebody who's a ben chayrin, who's unencumbered, free of, in other words, you're not even free to tell your own kid this is the way that you should be, because if all of his friends are doing it, you're not a ben chayrin. That's why you can't eat chometz on Pesach. You can't have even the... Look, chometz is worse than chazer. Chometz is b'bal yirah, b'bal yimotzeh, right? You don't have such a thing by chazer. By a piece of chazer was b'bal yirah and b'bal yimotzeh. You can't have it, you can't see it. And not by chazer. But by chometz you have such a yisoy. Why? It's an amazing thing. Because chometz means everybody does this. That's what chametz means. Everybody does it. Because that's what chametz is. The whole year you do it. The whole year everybody eats chametz. Chametz is something. Chaz is not like that. Chaz you never have. Chaz you never have. Chametz is more dangerous. Because chametz, everybody has the internet. Everybody goes to, all my friends go to Miami, go to Disney World. Everybody that I know has their own car when they're 18. That's chametz. Chametz means it's mutter the whole year. Means everybody does it. Everybody does it. But Chazer knows such a thing. Bogdum Yinai, Chazer, people stay away. Oh, no. I know, Chazer knows. By Chazer, everybody knows it's not for me. Chometz is a feeling, that's why all the Chumers by Chometz is because the whole year we have a regil with the Chometz. Chometz is that concept of everybody does this. That's what Chometz means. Matzah means, what is Matzah? Matzah means stop thinking about what everybody does. Stop measuring the mitzvahs based upon statistics, based upon some poll that was taken among your friends. I always say that to my, I said to my children, like, you know, whenever a kid, one of them is here right now, knows that this is a common outcry of all children, is that like when the kid wants to do something, they'll always back it up by saying, everybody's doing this. And I always say, okay, give me a list of the chaverim. The truth is, you know, I couldn't care less who's doing it. It makes no difference to me. Either it's right or it's wrong. Either it's right or it's wrong. But we're all meshubadim to this. We're all meshubadim to this. On some level. We try to win them. We try to be successful in the more important than yonim. But on some level, you're stuck in a situation where kulam oisim is a... That's chametz. Kulam oisim. Matzah is im einani li mili. I only have myself. I'm not in some statistic. It doesn't make a difference to me what Yenim, what the other guy is doing. What's the mashpi on me? What does an ani care? You see, these people, Baruch Hashem, I've only been in Manhattan maybe two or three times in the last 25 years. But when I was, and for that I have to do tshuva also. I went with the school, you know, so we went on some sort of a trip. Then we went to Kosher Delight. So I don't remember where we went. So there was a... So in the city there's a Kosher... I don't remember what street or something. There's a Kosher Delight. And over there you have... We're sitting there and eating. And there's... They have on the digital... The computer, the stock things. Like right outside the restaurant, stock. And people are sitting... Like people pass by. And I'm looking at this like I'm trying to, you know, just... I'm trying to enjoy my double beef burger. And I'm watching, you know, like, the Olam, and people standing by and looking at this. And I'm thinking, and in the restaurant also, it's not just from people. In the restaurant, everybody's like eating and looking. And I realized that I'm the only guy that's enjoying my hamburger. The rest of the Olam they're not enjoying the hamburger because their appetite depends upon the next thing that's coming out over there. So right. So if it's down, it's no good. If it's up, oh, then the hamburger's good. If it's down, it's no good. Mama, you see that there's such shibudim in the world, such unbelievable shibudim. Now, so there's the teretz, therefore a person shouldn't have anything. No, the teretz is that there's such a thing as a person who's able to own stocks and to be able to enjoy his hamburger. But those people are very few and far apart. Very few and far apart. Because the shibudim are so strong. The shibudim, the people, the more the shibudim, the more the person has, the more the shibudim. So the Maharal is saying, this is what matzah means. Matzah means I'm not meshubat anything. It means I'm poor. I'm poor, but in the deepest level, there's nobody as wealthy as myself because I have myself. You see, rich people, I'm not saying all rich people, there are many wealthy people that every single second they're nervous about what this one's conspiring, this one's plotting. I always say when we have to leave, like a lot of times we go away for, when we're away for Shabbos, so we remember like someplace on the highway that no one locked the doors. So then you know, so then we always say to each other, my wife and I, no, no, unless somebody likes Svarim, I'm not quite sure, like, you know, if there's somebody that likes Svarim, he's going to have a good time. But other than that, I mean, the candlesticks, the Shabbos Leichne. But besides that, there's nothing to take. So, you know, you could take a curtain. I mean, if someone really is desperate for curtains, doesn't take it. They could have it. But a person who has a person who's a the people who have much and are very involved and tied up and tight. The Onu b'neinu v'nei b'neinu m'shubodim heinu l'parav m'sraim. That's the Maral saying. Today, the last few lines down on that column, he says, the matzah has only itself. There shouldn't be any dependency or there shouldn't be any shibudim in the night of redemption. That's why we eat matzah. That is how you acquire redemption, which means the casting off of all things that have held you, that have contained you, that are controlling your life. Of a matzah ashir and yotzeba, you can't be yotze Pesach night by eating by the seder. You can't be yotze by eating matzah ashir, enriched matzah. Why? Ba'avur ki yesh l'zaisa matzah tziruf, because there are other things with the matzah. Because egg matzah means, oh, you know, I could be happy if I have this, if I have that. I could be a person. I could be redeemed if I have this and I have that. That's not what redemption means. Redemption means that all you have is yourself. Your neshama, your guf. That's what you have, yourself. For a mashkish and osam, but ain't kan gul, there's no redemption. When we said tovin, mashahaya gul osam. The Maral says, now we understand why the Gula took place, Davka, in the first month of the year in Nisan. Used to be an old song when many years ago that had no, the words, it's a non-Jewish song, had no words, one is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. So what the Maral is saying over here is that why is it that redemption at Pesach Davka took place in the first month? Because one is the only number that has nothing other than itself. All other numbers have a shaychus, have shibudim. All other, like for instance, three has to always call up two and say shkayach. Right? Good. You understand? Two has to always call up one and say shkayach. 10 million has to call many and say shkayach. The more complicated it gets, the higher the number, the more shkoichs you have to give. The more I couldn't have made it without you. I owe everything to you. Right? That's what number three says to number two. Without you, number two, I wouldn't be here. Is that true? Number one doesn't have to say talk to anybody. No yeshakoichs. There's no shibudim. It's just himself. So the Maral says, therefore, Pesach the Gula had to be. That's what he explains. The first month, she'ein by yischabrus man, it has no connection to any other time. It's because why? It's the first moment. Rosh Chodesh means the beginning. It means just itself. It means unadulterated, unenriched, unencumbered. It means matzah. That's what Nisan means. It means matzah. V'chodesh rishon she'ein by yischabrus man. Rak Shehu Rishon, it's the first. Kachodesh Hasheni, Bavo Shehu Sheni, once it's the second month, once you already come to the second month, Yesh Kan Chibuzman, it's already part of a continuum, it's part of a... I am free of all that was holding me, of all that was controlling me. Two is not free, three is not free, only one is free. One is a poor number. One is a... It's alone. It's alone. But alone means that my life is not defined by what everybody's doing. My life is not defined by what the Olam is saying. It means Alechem Oini is a Jew who could stand in a shul with, God forbid, 250 people schmoozing, and he doesn't take his head out of the siddur. That's redemption. Klal Hadavar. The Klal. Kol Inyan Hagaula. The definition of redemption, Merl says, is Estalkas Mizulosai, is separating yourself, detaching yourself from the other. Lamaid Ba'atzmai. To stand on your own. Without having any dependency or connection to anybody other than yourself. And this is fitting. This has to be in the first month. The Maral says this in all of his Svarim. Anything that comes into existence during a certain time, there's a reason why it came into existence dafka that time. You know, why is it that Beis Nisan tonight is Osher Zelig's birthday? There's a reason for that. There's a reason why is it that Pesach takes place in Nisan? Why is it that Shavuos takes place in Sivan? And the Maral in all of his Svarim talks about this barichas. It's not a coincidence. The kolz man veis. It has its time, and its time is not just related to, but it is on some level in that world of Olam Shana Nefesh. I'm not getting to it right now. It is the thing itself. It's time. Kedavish nisavim misyachas alazman shenasa by Isa Havai. There's always a relationship between when something happens, the thing that happens, and when it happens. Therefore, the beginning of time, which is the first month, which is Nisan, Reish Chodesh Nisan, Ve'ein by Chibur v'tzir of Zman, and it has no dependency upon any earlier time, any other time. It stands alone, the beginning. That's the Zman Miuchel Gula, the time for redemption. Shagu'uli hisha nivdol mizilosai. This is what redemption means. Ve'ein l'shum tzir of mizilosai. There's no dependence upon the other. Mizet tovim. Now you can understand. Ki akosav hu kipshuta. The simple pshat and chumash. Shiva as yomim teich lalav matzahs lechem ayin. 7 days you eat matzah, that's called the bread of poverty. Why? Ki b'chipozn yitzosim yimitzrayim. Because you left Mitzrayim in a hurry. Samaral says, Perish, Shatarch Lechem Aini, that you eat the bread that's called Lechem Aini of poverty, Shehu HaLechem HaOmid Ba'atzmo, which is the bread that is the beginning of it, it's like number one, it's the beginning. It doesn't owe its existence to anything or anybody. It's Omid Ba'atzmo, it stands alone. Vein L'Starfa says, Losef, Lama Teichel Zeh Lechem, so why do you eat this? So the Torah says, Ki B'chipozni Yatzasim Mitzrayim, because you left Egypt in a hurry. Now, what's the hurry? V'inyin achipazn hu mehiris. This is a very deep, inyin. It's a very big yisai. The Maral's writings, in many places, he discusses this. What is chipazn? What does it mean to rush? Chazal say that the Jewish people, as Amim Pesidim, are people that are always rushing. Yidin are always in a hurry. Yidin are always in a hurry. I always have this discussion with my mother, Zolgazun Zayin. Even when I speak to her, and she's there in Miami during the winter, and the whole purpose of being in Miami is to take it easy, is to relax. So my mother's always nervous that she has to get down to her friends waiting by the boardwalk, and that they have to get to the shiur by a certain. And that, so my father's always saying, "Relax, you're here for vacation. You're here for vacation." The Jews are always in a hurry. What's the chipazon? And where does the chippah and the beginning of our existence as a nation was? We were formed in a hurry. The chippah. Why? Says ve'inyin achippah hu mehirus. It means rushing. Speed. And what is the meaning of speed, of rushing? Ve'ein bo ikuv ve'hemshech zman. What does it mean? It means, it's the closest that a human being can come to being detached from this world. See, time, when a person has time, when you take your time, taking one's time means that I have a shaychus to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have a shaychus. Rushing means to preserve the beginning. Whenever you're rushing, you're preserving the first moment. You're attached to the moment. Taking your time means exactly that. It means there's a hemshech, weiter. It means already from the world of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, and it already comes from that place that's after the number one. Chiposen is a rush. Now, Sadiq writes that the first Torah in Sikkhus at Sadiq is that when we left Mitzrayim, we left in a hurry. Mashiach came Pesach Dairis, the rest of the time Pesach, there's no Indian of Chiposen by the, why? Because Rav Sadiq says, Reishis Knisas Ha'odam El Yehadis, that the beginning of one's becoming a Jew has to be a violent act. What does it mean, chipazon? It means tearing away from all the things that were holding you back from being a Jew. And that takes place with chipazon. It doesn't take place with this time. We'll think about it. We'll talk about it. Anytime there's something holy and something special, any transformation, any period of havdalah, to go from being single to go to being married, and it's bechipazon. It's bechipazon. And if not, then you have people that they're still thinking about it. I don't know. We only know each other for 27 years. I'm not sure I really know you well enough to get married. I'm not sure, you know, maybe we need to date a little bit more to find out more and so on. It's like, right? Anytime there's going to be a change, it means that I have to start again. We begin from Nisan, 1. That's bechipazon. That's bechipazon. It's a rush. Because it doesn't have a chibur, it doesn't have its starfas to other moments. It stands alone. Rushing means my effort to be independent of the hemshech of time, which is all the shibudim of this world. That's what it means to rush. That's the chipazon. Ki keshem sheyotze b'chadish rishon, v'nei sheroi chadish rishon, אלא גאולה דווקא מתמי שיסבור כי אין גאולה רק אשר אין כאן ציר וזהו חדש הראשון שהוא ראשון ולא יהיה כאן חיבר וציר חדושם לא צריך לזה חדש הזה לוחם חדש הלוחם means it's your month לוחם it's when you can discover that quality that's called you who you are וכך רויש לתיה גאולה בעיקוב זמן therefore it's only right that the gula not be schlepped out and dragged out. That the gula, that the preparations for redemption took a while. But the moment of redemption, when you're free of all shibudim, that's mamish in a second. The hachanis that Rabbi Leibel Eger used to make, the hachanis Rabbi Leibel Eger used to make for a mitzvah took all day. For bris milah, he would give bris right when it was shkia time. From the morning, that's how long the hachanis took. But the bris itself, Rabbi Leibel Eger was a moil, and he used to oftentimes be the sandak too. And he would put the baby in his lap, and he would throw the talus over, and they heard the brachas, and then he'd pull the talus off, and it was finished. Try doing sandakos and to be the moil at the same time. It's not simple. And there's a mice that did it on twin boys. It's brought down this farm. Sandakos and the moil. Threw the talus over, nobody saw what was going on. Finished. But the hachanis took 12 hours. They used to see Reb Leibler, they saw him rushing after Purim. They says, Rabbi, where are you going? So he says he wants to make the afikoren by Chatzais. It's the day after Purim. He's worried about the afikoren. He should eat the matzahs by chatzos. Those are the hachanis of a tzaddik, you understand? That's the tzaddik preparing.
But when it comes time for the gula itself, for the mitzvah, it's b'chipazon. It's tzaddikim b'chipazon. It wasn't nice geschlept. It wasn't geschlept. The katzke, even when he davened, was but the hachan is for tefillah. But the tefillah was tefillah. That's gula. That's redemption. It's by big tzaddikim. But people like us, we need to take our time. We're not holding by that. But by tzaddikim, it's such an inyan. But that the hachan is the preparation. But the gula itself, the moment of let's go, we're here. It's like jumping out of the plane, the parachute. You know, you have all the hachanas, you have to train, you have to go out there, they have to teach you how to jump. You go through all the hachanas. But the moment, if you're going to stand there by the opening of the plane, there's a line behind you of paratroopers, and you say, I don't know. So, you know, like, now you're making cheshbonos? Now's the time to be separated from the plane. The hachanas, you had all the time to make that thing. So the moment of redemption is davka b'chipazon, without a hemshech of zman. Without the continuum, it's not part of something. It's itself, and that's why it's a rush. It's in a moment. That's what he says. For kach roishal apia gula biikuv zman rak bezman arishnu ibliam shochav biikuv ein but sirv klal shakol rishnu mesiaches al gula. The beginning is always connected to redemption. Lechibu zman sheze ein shayach lagula shetzarech lagula stalkus at sirv achibu gula means cutting away the ties to everything. And also he says, understand this, the relationship between matzah and redemption. The poor man, as I was saying before, it's connected to what we just learned also. What does it mean? It's utterly simple. Now that's what simple doesn't mean. It could have the mind of the Vilna Gaon. It doesn't mean that. Utterly simple means, it's the same thing it means, he is what he is. Uncomplicated. Hashem is Pashut. You see in all the Sramah, in Maral Sram Pashut, Hashem is the Tachlis of Pshitas. What does it mean that Hashem is simple? It means he's one. But not the way that you and I think of one. So we think this is one glass of soda. Nah, but hasn't it millions and millions of cells of chais and this and that and the glass and the soda and whatever? Hasn't it? It's already complicated. One pshitus, total pshitus means it's not layered. It's not. It doesn't have in it. It's not composite. It is what it is. That's pshitus.
Is it the Bashan Demel with the Mun of Pshita?
100%. That's the beautiful, beautiful feeling you get when you're with a Yid, when you're with a Jew that's a Pashat Yid. That has a way of pshitus. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to be with a Jew that's Pashat. That's what the word pashut means from the little half sheet. It means to undress, right? To strip away. That's what pshitas is. That's what pshitas is. A pashut the yid is someone that he is who he is, wherever he is. He's the same person. We're not like that. We're very complicated, even though we're dumb. But we're complicated. What does complicated mean? It means that anytime you're with somebody, a different person, you act differently. So if somebody would look at this, they say, wow, this guy's complicated. Because I've followed him for the last week, and I've detected around 362 personalities. That's very complicated. But when you walk with a Pashat the Yid, he's one person throughout, at home, with friends, in shul, outside of shul, he is who he is. That's Pshitas. And that's Matzah. That's Lechem Ani. That's an Ani. He's Pashat. He's uncomplicated. That's nothing with intelligence. It's the same thing we were talking about before. He doesn't have those layers of reality. He has only himself. He's not deluded by things that are external to himself. The complicated person is deluded by those things that are external to his essence. That's what he's explaining. In this world, that's not a good thing to be poor. Shu'olam ha'harkava. Why? Because in this world, this is a world of harkava. This is a world that's complicated. And the more you have, the better you are, the better it is for you. So from the perspective of this world, it's lousy to be poor. It's terrible. Oh, what a curse. From my loss of harkava. In this world, the more you have, the bigger the ma'ilah. Mekomokom ha'pshitus ma'ilahu mitzad olam ha'poshet. Olam haba is called olam ha'poshet. It's completely simple. In that world, pshitus is the biggest ma'ilah. Vein bar kava, It's not composite. Ubalayla hazeh, on Pesach night, hayitzrichim ala geula. It was a time of redemption. V'hayisa geula mitzad ha'ilam hazeh. Redemption is not something that comes from this world. Shu'ilam ha'morka, which is a world that's complicated, that's layered, that's meshubah to external things. Rak what? Rak mitzad ha'ilam ha'elyin ha'poshet. Redemption came to us from that higher realm of existence. From the world of truth. From the world of absolute pshitas. Therefore, we're supposed to eat simple bread. Like the poor man who has only himself. That's it. The word matzah means something which is very poshut. Again, it means without seasoning, without flavor, and so on with it. That's called poshut. B'shem matzah. B'meishav alayla hazeh hayu nig'olim b'madrega he'olyayinu l'maylim ha'olim. Because on this night of Pesach, the Jewish people were lifted to a place above this world, above the complications and the distortions and the lies of this world. This whole world is just an alma d'shikra. Because when you're putting on a piece of clothing, you're already a liar. That's why lahavshit, nakedness, is true. Clothing is a lie. Right? Clothing is a lie. And the bigger the lie, the more expensive the clothing. Right? So the holiness of clothing is like cosmetics, the same thing. The holiness is a lie. It's all sheker. It's all not you. Not you. This is me. I'm overweight. Take a look. This is me. I'm pashut, you know. In that state of hafshata, this is who I am. Clothing is a sheker. That's why beged is a lashon of beged, which means treason. Treason means it's a chakran. Hafshata, nakedness, means pashtus. Pashtus means that's who you are. That's who you are. Adam and Chava, before they became complicated, before they ate from the Eitz Hadas Tevirah, which is complications, before they ate from the Eitz Hadas Tevirah, they lived only with the Eitz Chaim, they didn't have to wear clothing. Because clothing is dishonest. Clothing is dishonest. It's a harkava. It's not pashtus anymore. Just like anything that you own in this world, anything that you have in this world, is already, there's a heart cover that's taking place. That's what you say? How can we understand this? An example of this in Torah, that the coming God of the whole year, he's Meshamish, he wears the gold clothing. Gold clothing are complicated. That's already a big day. Zohar, gold means having him, he's this world. Will be Yom Kippur, the big day lovin, lifnai v'lifnim, but in that place of absolute truth, in that place, in the Kodesh Kodashim, where you lifnai v'lifnim, when you encounter the absolute truth, there's only white clothing. White means no color. It means totally pashut. It's the closest you can get to being naked, is white. White means without color, without complications. It means redemption. That's when the Kohen Gadol reaches the highest level. So when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he has to become completely detached from all dependence, all connections to this world. Which is not pasha. This world is complicated. Therefore, outside that place of absolute clarity, outside the place of total oneness, outside the place of total truth, he wears the complicated clothing of Zahav because he's there to be Meshamish in a world that's complicated and to fix a world that's complicated. But when it comes to that moment of Yom Kippur, of Lifnai V'Liftim, it's Big Day Lovin. Amuk Shenichnas Lifnai V'Liftim, Yesh L'Sham Big Day Lovin, Lefi Mailas Amadregish Nichnas L'Sham, because you have to dress appropriately. Right? That's what they say, right? You have to dress appropriately. Ki Big Day Lovin Heim Pshutim. That's why it used to be the tzaddikim on Shabbos wore white clothing. Our ancestors, they all wore white clothing Shabbos. Now some people still wear Yom Kippur, but Shabbos used to wear tzaddikim wore white on Shabbos. Tzaddikim on the biggest Shabbos. Also pashtus. Because tziv b'lozeh lechol matzah shul lechem ani pashut mikol. Ki b'lozeh nigol madregel yoni v'chol madregel yoni yesh bo pshitas. Yesh bo pshitas. That's the Yisayit Hadavar. That's the Yisayit Hadavar. The pshitas, without a hemshach of time, the lechem ayni, That's the beginning of Gula. Bez Hashem, next week we'll learn a different Torah from the Maral to prepare for Yom Tov. And I think that will be it until after Pesach. Yeah, that'll be it until after Pesach, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. Shkoyach.